And this is what I mean by being authentic. It's what is it that's motivating you? And be willing to ask, is that the person that I want to be?
Welcome to the Penelope Podcast, a place where you will find some tools, some resources, and inspiration to support your journey in creating the life you love. This is a healthy, happy, full of purpose life. Hello, welcome to the Penelope Podcast. Today's guest is an amazing woman with such an interesting and inspiring story and journey I'm sure you're gonna love. If you're interested in topics of self-discovery and finding your purpose, I'm sure this episode is for you. I hope you enjoy. Her name is Fern Marie Rodriguez, and prior to focusing on the evolution of human consciousness, Fern accumulated over 15 years of corporate experience between Microsoft, Skype, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and NASA. She holds a bachelor's degree in physics, a master's degree in mechanical engineering, and master's degree in human-centered design. As a hobby, she spent 12 years on a startup that is helping to open space travel to civilians, and later became a world champion dancer. After a spontaneous spiritual awakening in 2017, Fern dedicated the next 3 years to learn the art of introspection and meditation, a journey that organically led her away from the race of pursuing external achievements and paved the way to mental, emotional, and financial freedom. Today, Fern merges 25 years of scientific background with the most effective introspection techniques to support others on their journey towards internal mastery. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, Fern, I think, as I mentioned it before, like I discovered your work and about you through a testimonial on Joy Dispenza's YouTube channel. It was something beautiful, and I think it was exactly what I needed to see at that moment, because you talk a lot about purpose in life and about like something that really caught my attention and went directly to my soul was like, okay, it doesn't matter about external achievements. You can only find real fulfillment from in the inside, going inwards. So I would love if you could share with the audience and with us today, like, what do you mean by, how is this journey about like going from the inside out and finding that external achievements are not the real answer? And it's because I think this world of self-development is plagued with ideas of, okay, just go for that and hustle hard and just the next thing. And then you have to push through. And I really don't resonate with these ideas. And so I don't know, I just would love to hear your experience about achieving and overachieving in your case. Is amazing, all the things that you've accomplished in your life. So could you please tell us about your experience with that?
Absolutely. I'll start with saying, I'm going to pull out the most important thing that I heard you say. You said that there is this and that, like all these expectations from even the spiritual realm about going and pushing. And you said, I'm going to pull it out. It doesn't resonate. Mm-hmm. And that is the key. Always trust yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever that trust is saying, that is correct for you. And so for me, that also did not resonate. But I was never into the spiritual realm or the I'm gonna not use the word spiritual. I was never in the journey of self-exploration consciously. I was all my life. I just didn't know that that's what I was doing. But to start in the beginning, I always was gravitated. I always resonated with space. And I thought that meant, oh, I'll just be an astronaut. And I studied astrophysics and engineering, and the Columbia Space Shuttle exploded the year that I was graduating from my master's degree. And after that, I was hired to build missiles with a degree in physics and engineering. And I remember it was like the era of broken hopes and shattered dreams, because it's not what I went to school for. But I had already learned the recipe to succeed in whatever you put your mind into. And I learned that because in addition to those things, I also had a daughter when I was a teenager. And coming from this environment of very limited resources and having a child so early and having so much, like having big dreams, right? Like she helped me set my mind into something. And that is the key to achieving. Like you just set your mind into a goal and nothing deviates from that. It's not that you set your mind and you wish it could. No, you set your mind and there's no option to fail. That's how you achieve a goal. And so before I was into this realm of introspection, I had mastered the ability to achieve anything. And for example, after I was in military for several years, and I was like, if I'm not leaving this planet, then what am I going to do inside of it? And I thought, well, it's not working in military. So I went back to school, got a master's degree in design from the University of Washington, and then started working at Microsoft, building consumer products. And after achieving there, and it's like, oh, there's this endless battle for, it's almost like this hierarchy. And I was like, what if I just start something new that I've never done before? And then I will really prove myself, you know, applying the same principle of just achieving. And it was more like proving to myself that I could do anything, because at this time my daughter had already went to college and I was like, had free time. And so I was like, how about if I start dancing? And if I'm good at that, how do I prove that I could be good at that? Oh, if I compete and then I win a championship, like a world championship, then I prove myself that I'm good at it. And so I did that and I actually won. Wow. And when I won, I was like, it's game over. A human being can really do anything. And what I thought was, this is really what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell people that they can actually achieve anything because they can. And I was like, wait, so if you can achieve anything, then what's the purpose? It's like you just end up achieving. And what about this feeling of emptiness?
Yeah, like for what? No, achieving for what?
For what? And so that's when my journey started.
Wow. Another of my questions is that, like you mentioned also, like this kind of awakening in 2017, no? It's been 3 years, 4 years of this journey. You've been doing some traveling and everything. I would love also if you could share with the audience, like, how does it look for you at least, this kind of journey, in the sense that sometimes people can think like, I just have my spiritual awakening and then I will know what I want and then everything is going to go linear and then I will know what to do. And I think that's not the case also. Like, I think I had my spiritual awakening in 2011. It's been 10 years and it's been like ups, downs, and what I thought I wanted that I didn't want that. And then I changed. And then, I mean, it goes all directions and you just have to allow yourself, I think, to listen to your intuition, learn to listen to your intuition, and then follow that path. And it's going to take you in many directions, right? So how has it been for you also? Like, just to probably demystify that for people, like, this is not a linear journey. And this is not about, okay, now I had my awakening and then I go that direction. Like, how it's been in your experience, like these years of discovering yourself, discovering what you want, discovering what you don't want, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, so... When I had my spiritual awakening and I realized, oh my gosh, everything that I ever, even like that seed when I was a child connecting to space, I realized I'm trying to connect to the universe. And I thought that meant externally being an astronaut. But oh my gosh, it's like I realized that what I wanted to connect to was myself. You know, the universe, we are the universe.
Yes.
And not knowing what that meant, I thought it meant outside instead of inside.
Yeah.
And so I quit my job and I started to follow the lead of the universe. I had no idea what I was doing, but I read a book, randomly a book came to my life called The Celestine Prophecy. And it was very magical the way it just appeared in my life. And I was like, what a coincidence, that Celestine Prophecy. Sounds like this other had bought a crystal called Celestite the night before. It's like, what a coincidence, because I felt like this sensation in my chest when I saw that crystal, and I'll just see what this is. And I downloaded it and it was like 1 a.m. and I start reading, and the first thing it says, there are no coincidences.
Wow.
and so it was, there are 9 insights in that book, and every day I had an insight. And I was like, oh my gosh. So the first thing that I did, or the first month when I quit Microsoft, I took a 1-way flight to Peru. And I didn't know what I was going to be doing there. And it was snowing. And I was like, okay, time to go home. Like, it was the summertime in Seattle. So I don't even know what I'm doing here. But I did the Machu Picchu Trail. And then I was in Cusco. And all these signs about this thing called ayahuasca. I was like, I know what that is, but it's snowing, and I bought a 1-way ticket, and it's such a shame to leave without knowing more about this country. So how about if I just sign up for that, whatever that is? This is how my life goes, by the way. So I'm answering you with example of, this is like, apply this everything to everything.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how it goes. And so I was like, okay. So I signed up for this thing, and the first day we're all sitting in a circle and everyone introduces themselves. And there's this beautiful native shaman that deals with this plant medicine. It's like, it's all new to me, right? And she introduces herself and she says, "Me llamo Celestina."
No way. Oh my God. Wow, with the synchronicities, like, okay.
So here it is, like the Celestine Prophecy that magically arrived in my, literally in my phone. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should just go to Peru. And wow, if the universe is not speaking to us, right? Like this, I was like, the universe is definitely speaking to us. And it reminded me of Paulo Coelho, a book that I had read when I was a teenager, The Alchemist.
Of course.
And it asked us to trust the messages of the universe, right?
Yeah.
So for example, I was just telling this to my daughter because someone is stuck in India today, and they were asking about ayahuasca, actually. And she asked me, do you know anyone in India that would do ayahuasca? And I told her, isn't it fascinating that this human is stuck in India? I mean, if that's not a message from the universe. And I asked her, why don't you suggest that they try Vipassana? Like, why are they thinking of something that it's not related to that country when they're stuck in that country?
When India is full of this magic, no?
So anyway, that is just the beginning of my journey. But this is exactly how my journey flowed. Like, after I left Peru, I spent a week at my mom's house, and I was like, universe, what do I do next? Because I quit my job. I don't know what I'm doing. And the only thing I remember was someone had mentioned this Vipassana thing. And I was like, okay, oh, maybe I can do that. So I did a Vipassana, ended up in India, and did another Vipassana there. And literally everything else from there, the universe has been leading. And I would joke. And I really don't know what I'm going to do in a week. Like, I would joke, but that is how my life has unfolded. It's like, what sounds interesting, and follow that, even if you don't know why. And in that process, without forcing the universe will actually lead you to where you need to be.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think sometimes it's we don't listen, but it's not like the universe doesn't speak. It's different, right? It's like we are not listening. I think, I don't know, for the audience, for people that is wondering, okay, but how do I know that what I'm listening right now is my higher self, it is my intuition, or it's my fear? Like many times, so many moments of decisions, you know, people not being able to quit their jobs or to do something like because out of fear or out of real threat. I don't know, what would you recommend for people that it's a bit like over analytical sometimes, like, oh my God, like they question themselves over and over and they don't follow their intuition because they are so used to follow their mind, no? What would you advise for these personalities, yeah?
Yeah, so I actually started my own coaching business, and I call it intentional evolution because it is exactly helping people understand what you're saying, right? It's the, if you look at our humble beginnings as a species, we have an animal brain. We have the reptilian brain that it's the core of our brain. And that is what we need to overcome. We need to overcome the innate impulses of our reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is the one that is constantly in fear, constantly in protection, constantly defending, constantly in aggression mode or in separation. And we need to allow the other parts of the brain to naturally do what they're capable of doing. So the mammalian brain, so if we have first the reptilian brain, and then on top of that, you have the mammalian brain, and this is the center where you have emotions. And the mammalian instincts didn't arrive until, well, the mammals, right? Like dinosaurs didn't really care when they would lay eggs, but the mammals is that they started to care for their young. And this is the concept of love. And if you look at the human as an animal, we have been driven by conquering, by fear, by separation, by that instinct. Even though we think of ourselves as more advanced, most of our history has been in war, most of it, right? Which is divide and conquer. And yeah. And even like this concept of love. So that's something that I struggled with a lot was being able to find a true in-depth connection with another human being. And if you come to think of it, many people struggle with relationships because we don't know how to have a relationship with ourselves first.
Yeah.
And this concept of love is very recent. Like 200, 100 years ago, even love was transactional, right? Like you get this piece of land and you get this bride or whatever. The concept of union in the form of love is very recent. So that's just the mammalian brain. On top of that,
yeah,
you have the neocortex. And so now that's where the frontal lobe is. And the frontal lobe is what enables us to know who we truly are. And in order for, so we have the intellect, but the intellect so far has been leveraged to cater to the reptilian brain, to cater for power, to cater for achievements, to cater for competition. Right? And so we need to learn how to acknowledge those innate pulls, because they're like pulls or push. It's like you're craving or you're pushing something away. Yeah. Which is what the Buddha was trying to teach us. And this is what Vipassana teaches, actually. It's like you're either craving something or you're striving for something, or craving or having aversions for something. And the whole concept of now tying back to this whole teaching in spiritual realm of manifesting this and that, you're going to continue to manifest forever until you get tired of manifesting. That's not the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the goal. The goal is not to perpetually go after something. It will never be as satisfying as we think it is. But I learned that before learning that you can manifest anything, because I just learned the recipe for it. So I'm grateful that I learned that before, so that I didn't get stuck in the, oh, now that you connect to the universe, it's about manifesting. That's just creating more experiences that will enable you to figure out it's not about manifesting. No. So to answer your question, how do you overcome the reptilian brain? With acceptance that is there, with compassion that it's there, with respect to yourself, that this is there, but knowing that doesn't define you. You're not just a reptilian brain.
I love that you talk about these things. Like I love how you describe this inner conflict, even in I saw it in your website, in the business in Aletheia, Intentional Evolution. I love the name, by the way. And I love how you talk about this inner conflict that is exactly what is sometimes in the middle of our fulfillment. No, like how you help your clients on this, right? To find, how would you call it? Like it's finding balance,
finding yourself
finally. Yeah, definitely.
Because you're not the pull of the instinct. You're not that. You're not your wishes. Your wishes, even things you wish for, eventually you unwish them. Like you wish for them and then you're like, oh, I didn't know that was it, right? And so this is the story. Like once you do that enough times, you're like, what's the point of continuing to achieve or to reach goals? It's only to help us realize that it's not it. The same thing is with aversions. When you have, when you're afraid for something, everything is energy, which is what I learned as a physicist. Everything is energy. And so when you have aversions towards something, you're still putting energy in the thing that you're afraid of. And the universe will bring it to you just so that you stop being afraid of it.
Yeah. The lesson won't disappear unless you learn it, right?
Yeah. So nothing is as good as you think it is. Or as something that is not good. I'm not saying don't be grateful for the experiences that we have. The universe is so loving to us that will allow us to have the experiences so that we can learn from them. And so we are grateful that we have the experiences. It's just that it's not as fulfilling as we think it is, because what we are doing is we're idolizing an experience or a thing or whatever it is. We're putting we idolize that as that will bring me the fulfillment that I'm seeking deep in my soul, but only our connection to ourself will satisfy that.
Yeah.
No, nothing will ever satisfy, not a partner, not a career, exactly. Not a world championship, not your child going to college, not, I mean, yes, you're grateful for those things. Of course you're grateful. But deep inside.
Yeah. There's something more.
There's something more. And so what I help people, or the universe actually led me to do this. There was someone who asked me, how do I build compassion? I was like, oh my gosh, so it would take me like 3 months to walk you through that journey, right? And so we started a program. It's a 12-week program. And I help them create the habits that are gonna lead them for the rest of their lives, because knowledge itself, if it were about knowledge, you know how many books we have and how many, how many wise people we have saying truth?
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It comes in this ear and it leaves out the other.
Yeah.
Because it's not about hearing it. It's about acting on truth. And so you develop habits of letting go of the impulses of the ego, letting go of the fear, letting go of the thoughts that we're not worthy, accepting that it's there, and doesn't matter how it arrived, forgiving the people that helped us. So this is one thing I've learned, is that when we forgive, what we're actually doing is we are freeing ourselves from the energy that kept us in a state of suffering. And when someone hurts us, they're literally gifting us a gift. It's like, you have believed. Here's your error. You have believed in this thing that you're making you suffer. But guess what? The universe doesn't believe in that. You, and only you, believe in it. And when the person gifts you that gift, you resent them and you banish them from existence. And we're losing the opportunity to say, ah, thank you for showing me my pain. I forgive myself for believing that story. And I forgive you for hurting me. And when you do that, you free yourself and you realize there is nothing to forgive. You're just like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for letting me be free.
It's such a journey, right? It's like exactly from realizing that there is not even anything to forgive. It's like you go in steps, no? Like first it's like, okay, I let it go. I forgive myself. And then it's like, okay, there's not even anything that I have to forgive.
Just set you free. You're like, oh my gosh, thank you for setting me free. I didn't know.
Yeah, totally. What do you think, for instance, with your clients, is some of the what things you find in common of that are things that keep people stuck, for instance, is fear, is worthiness? I think it's something interesting also in worthiness or unworthiness, no, for people. So
yeah, first, people think they're broken.
Yeah.
And okay, you're not broken. Yeah. You think you may be broken. It's that you realize there's something wrong with this picture. It usually happens with professional levels. So interestingly, people have come to me, our director level engineers, interestingly, and they're like, I'm broken. It's like, no, you're not broken. You're seeing through the veil and you don't understand, right? Why is it that I'm not interested in going after the VP position? Why is it that I'm not in this, whatever is happening with this group of people, and I feel broken? It's like, no, you're not broken. You're seeing the truth and you're not trusting yourself.
Yeah.
But for us to trust ourselves, we have to learn to trust the intuition. So this is how I started with you, right? when you said this resonates with me or it doesn't resonate yeah. with me, it's telling you
yes,
there's some truth there. And so the journey of introspection, the journey back to self, requires that we learn to trust.
Totally. I love it. I really love it because, as you say, information is not the issue in this time, right? I mean, you can Google anything. You can have access to anything. Any knowledge is available right now. We're really lucky. We live in really interesting times, no? So knowledge is not the issue. But when you recognize the truth, like the truth, when someone says something or you read something or you listen to something and you hear the truth, I mean, which is different than just mere knowledge, you feel it and it's like, oh my God, this is it. Like it's different knowing something that learning or understanding something, you know. It's such an important distinction, I think. I'm curious also about the name, Aletheia. I love it. Like it's mm-hmm. about that is not hidden, no? That it's kind of evident. Why the name? Like what inspired you to choose that name for your business coaching?
It's the goddess of truth. It's the Greek goddess of light and truth. And one time I just saw the name and I was like, that is such a beautiful name. But I didn't know what it meant. I just loved the name. And when I searched for the name and I saw that it was the goddess of light and truth, I was like, I'm sold.
Okay, exactly. I don't need to look more for more names now.
What else can you ask for? That's great. Available? Okay. But it doesn't mean anything outside of, I mean, I use the word intentional evolution more than I use Aletheia. And the reason is that it speaks more to what people need to realize right now. Intention to evolve past our survival instincts.
Yeah. And I love, like, I think it's really needed, this kind of job right now, like this kind of help. I mean, from mentors, from coaches, from therapists, like any kind of help that people resonate more with, because I mean, we are all are different. We need different kind of help or modalities. But I think it's so necessary because, as you were saying, like people are really confused at this time. No, like I think it's a collective evolution. We all are going through this, like we are waking up to what really matters in life and what's not real in life, like these external achievements. But it's a lot of work in terms of deprogramming. Like, oh my God, like it's all these things that people are having inner conflicts, and it comes from like a lifetime of being told something else. Like you from school, no, you are awarded for being the smartest kid in the classroom and not having answers, actually something bad, no? You are supposed to know everything. Like this all-knowing or going to the unknown is like, no, 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 no. You have to go the other direction. You have to know everything. So I think it's really a lot of work that we all have to go through, right? Like just unlearning and relearning, right?
I'm really grateful that we have the world we have. Because you're literally pointing out something. When we're constantly being conditioned that you have to know, it takes so much strength and conviction to know that that's a story. Mm-hmm. And if you can recognize that, then you have recognized truth. And so it's almost like the world is literally setting us up, giving us maximum opportunity for us to say, thank you very much. I am going to take a different path.
Yeah. Yeah. Takes bravery, right?
But that bravery is what you need to snap out of your own survival instincts.
Yes.
Because you're not the survival instincts. You're not. And it's like, how loud is your thirst to know truth? And it only takes a few tries of the universe showing you that you're not alone for you to completely surrender. I didn't even know what that word meant. My daughter, actually, I'm gonna show you. She posted this picture. She sent me this. She wrote that, surrender and allow. Wow. And she sent it to me like a year and a half ago or something like that. And I just put it in my background because I was like, I am surrendering.
Kind of forcing it, no? Forcing surrender.
I didn't even know what that meant. It's surrendering means, can you stop planning and trust that the universe already has the perfect plan for you? And I also was going to say, you mentioned something interesting. You said that we have this inner conflict, right? And you're so spot on. So surrendering means allowing yourself to be in conflict.
Yes.
Because the conflict is the key.
Yeah.
The conflict is the key. Why? The same thing about forgiveness, right? When you feel that pain, until you forgive, you will not recognize the gift of the pain. So that's with forgiveness to someone else. But when you find yourself in inner conflict, until you resolve that conflict, you won't notice the gift of the conflict. The universe is never in conflict, which means there is a story that we have believed. And this is the key. Can you be willing to change your belief system? Perceptions create the tendency to have us believe in things that deviate from truth. And if you can be willing to recognize that our human system, five senses plus the nervous system, are only picking up a fragment of what's happening in the universe, a fragment. Consciously, we're only picking up about 50 data bits per second, consciously. Unconsciously, we're picking up between the five senses and the nervous system. Unconsciously, we're picking up 10 million data bits per second. Contrast to consciously 50 data bits per second, right?
Yeah.
So we make stories with our conscious belief, no, with the conscious perceptions, we create stories. But they're perceptions, and we created them because our brain excels at justification so that we don't create cognitive dissonance. So the brain will excel at creating a story to justify why you feel the way you do. And that becomes a belief. And when it hurts, it's literally your higher self saying, sweetheart, this is a limiting belief. It's not true. And so this is why I'm saying, let conflict provide the gift,
yeah,
via the willingness to change your perceptions and your belief about what it is that you're perceiving. Does that make sense?
A lot. I love it because it reminds me a lot of, have you heard of Byron Katie, with the work of Byron Katie, that she talks a lot about the stories, no? And even the she poses the question, who would you be without your story? It's mm-hmm. like understanding like the work of a life of our life is that, no? Realizing that all these things that we perceive and that we sometimes believe as truth, they are stories. And you have to wake up to the truth.
Yes. So I'm going to venture out to say, maybe making people uncomfortable, it's a good thing. unless we are in the field of love, of acceptance of all beings, regardless of who they are, regardless of what you think they did, if we're not in the field of acceptance, of respect, compassion, forgiveness, love, it's not true.
I love it. I love it. And I associated with what you say also a moment ago about that we've been living all this time in separation, and all these things mm-hmm. that you are saying that we need to learn is about coming together, like reunion, right? Compassion, like empathy, like all these things that we need to find in ourselves, because we are those things, no? So all this is about, okay, the era of separation, I think it's over. We need to move to the era of reunion, no? Again.
That's exactly right. And that is getting us closer to who we really are.
Yeah.
More.
I love it.
But let's get there first.
One step at a time. What would you say, for instance? I always have this inner conflict. No, it's not, I think it's not so much that I doubt it, but sometimes it's like a question that I ask myself is like, what would you think is more important? Or I think, I don't know. Okay, I just ask. What do you think is more important or priority? Like to work on oneself from the inside out, like individually, like me with myself, you with yourself, or as a collective, like to do, you know, like these also modalities of collective trauma healing and all these kind of things. Like, how can we put together these things, like the healing on an individual level and the healing on a collective level?
I'm going to say that you cannot give what you do not have.
Yeah.
So then it's a matter of being genuine and authentic and truthful to yourself first. Can you help someone if you haven't helped yourself? Maybe. That's what, I mean, I tried that my whole life. I always thought I was helping people, but it was my ego. I was mostly helping. I spent years doing STEM, so science, technology, engineering, mathematics, helping females to come into this realm of engineering and sciences. But in a way, I was doing it because I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to, it gets complicated, right? Because it's like, what are your motives? Well, I want more females in this realm. I want females to be empowered. And in a way, that is still helping. But I now realize that at every level, you can help. You can help at every level. But healing requires you to be healed.
Yeah.
So in the last few years, and even now, I don't search for people to help. When people come to me, you came to me. When people come to me, then I say, okay, I see where you are and I can maybe just showed you, just guide you, just point in that direction, right? But I have come to that conclusion because I realized that everyone's journey is perfect. And so I wasn't always in that state of mind. I always thought that I needed to help other people, but it's because we're so conditioned to externalizing everything. But when you want to help someone else, who is it that you're trying to help? You're trying to help yourself, but you don't do this. And instead it's like, you need to fix this and you need to fix that and you need to fix this. Oh no, I don't need to fix those things. You do, right? But true healing requires this. Fix yourself. And only from a place of wholeness can you then just say a few words and the other person is, it's like, I understand. But if you don't understand that because you have gone in and like purified yourself first, oh my gosh, it's like years of therapy and going and it's like you never get to the end of it because the person guiding you can't understand it themselves, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. I really love it because, yeah, I believe in the same. Like it's not a small work. It's not a small thing to work on yourself, you know, like it's, we have, and I love that you mentioned it, it's conditioning, it's programming that we need to go big, go massive, help others. It's like, no. Oh, yes, it's good, but you start with you. Like you cannot fix other person. You just can fix yourself. And from doing your work, then exactly naturally, right? The universe put you in the right place to help others and not by you doing something to the other person because it's not your job, you know, like you being the words the person needed to hear, the help the person needed that moment, you know, like it's just synchronistically happening, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing that I thought about earlier in a comment you had made. It's a concept of evolution again, right? So throughout our whole history, we have been pointing fingers outside to avoid pointing fingers inside. And most of the war and the separation that we have had is because that's the energy that we have inside that we detest about ourselves. So it's a lot easier to project it outwards and then, oh, we need to get rid of this entire culture, right? It's like in the case of the Nazis, for example.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of all of them because we cannot stand that within myself. I cannot stand that within myself. So it's so much easier to project it out.
Yes.
But little by little, we're like, okay, maybe killing people is not such a great thing. And little by little, we still have work to do, but little by little, we're now saying, oh, okay, now I'm going to help you. But we're still not saying, oh, I need to help myself.
Exactly. I can start maybe by me. I need some help, no? Instead of, you need help. Let me do it.
And yet, if you really feel that you need to help someone, that's your journey. You, in helping someone, which I've done many times too, I was saying, then you also do help yourself until there's more wisdom. And then you're like, oh, I don't really need to change anyone. Perfect.
Where can people find about, for instance, your coaching business and the work you do and everything? Like, I think we're going to share all the links in the below the video so people can find what you do. And those that are interested and ready to work on themselves can see.
I think a messenger on Facebook is the fastest way right now. I've had a website that I started like a year and a half ago, but I just decided to focus on me and healing myself because like the other day I had a girl from Taiwan who reached out and she was telling me within 30 minutes, I just let her speak for 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, I asked her two questions and she was like,
aha moment, a realization.
And she was like, oh my God, right? But it's once you work on yourself, it's so much easier. And so my point is that now perhaps I I need to step out of that and actually finish my website, but or not. So right now I'm just available through social media.
Perfect. Yeah. And the YouTube channel that you have, I love the interviews that you did with.
Okay, I'm gonna embarrass myself.
Why?
Yeah. So I stopped posting because I realized that I was concerned that because I posted a few videos and about different things. And then one time I posted about like this atheist guy and only got like 100 views. And I was so pulled by, wait, why aren't people, what's going on? Like, I was so interested in people seeing the video and I realized, what's your motivation?
I love that question.
And so when I realized my motivation was, I was more interested in people looking at the videos than gaining something from it, I stopped posting. I was like, I can't continue doing that until I feel that I'm not interested in what 100 people see it. That was what they needed to see. Like, I don't need 1,000 followers or 2,000 followers, or it's like, and this is what I mean by being authentic. It's, what is it that's motivating you?
Yeah.
And be willing to ask, is that the person that I want to be? Is that what inspires me to keep making videos, to have more people see it? For what reason? Is the views more important than the impact? So if only one person sees it, great. I'm finally over that, but that's why I haven't posted anymore.
But then this is such an important question to ask when you are doing for creative people, for entrepreneurs, for any person that wants to do something meaningful with their lives. I think this is the question to ask, no? What is your motivation to do it, right? Because this is going to illuminate a lot of what you are doing and where you want to go. Because, I mean, in my case, no, I'm just starting out and I just get a few views. But when I ask, what is my motivation? It's like, okay, I just enjoy this right now. And right now, I mean, this is not like I'm not projecting myself 5 years from now, you know? But it's like right now, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And the moment that I don't enjoy it, I don't feel this energy that is, as you were saying in the intention in the beginning of this video that I absolutely loved, is that like, let this conversation be what it is and let people get what they have to get from this conversation, right? But then life can take you to another direction, pull you in another direction, right? But I love this question. If you keep this question always, it will tell you, no, this is not anymore. No, like maybe in your case was like, no, maybe doing videos is not for me at this moment, right? So I will focus on myself. I will focus on something else, right? On something that was calling you in this moment, right? So I think it's such an important question to ask for any time that you're going to start something in your life, right? Even if it's quit a job or take a job or I don't know, especially, you know what, in these times of pandemic, we're living right now isolated and we are like, our routines have changed completely. Our vision for the future, probably for everyone or for many people, is like, I just don't know what's going to happen with my professional life, with my personal life. With, it's like these kind of questions are like, okay, like, what do you want to do with your life? What's your motivation? Right? I love it. So thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you for that.
What's the motivation? And also be willing to be guided by the universe. Be willing to surrender to what it is that your higher self wants you to know. And perhaps our own stories get in the way of understanding the message.
I love it. Thank you, Fern Marie. Is there anything, any last message that you want to leave to the audience? I mean, you've been saying some many beautiful things that I'm really happy that we get to share all this with the audience. Any last message that you would like to share with the people that are going to listen?
I'm going to say, okay, I will share this. When I became a world champion dancer, I was very fortunate to understand how it is that we can learn best from others. And it's, I realized that I was learning from so many different teachers, but not necessarily world champion teachers, right? So then I found this world champion instructor, and he, like, my learning went choom when I found him. So that lesson I brought to this realm of introspection, and I still did the same of like just going around and just following my curiosity. And then after that was satisfied, I just decided to hone in to who are the, like, the world champions in this realm, right? It's like, who are the most if you're going to be strategic about where you want to go, find the people that have already succeeded in the thing that you're interested in. And for me, that was, well, I'm not going to share what it was for me, but find what that is for you. One thing. So trust yourself. Find people that are closer to where you want to be. Be willing to let them go so that you can continue finding your true north. And just know that you're worthy. You're worthy of remembering what love is.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's such a beautiful message. I think it's a perfect way to close this interview with this message to the audience. And one more time, I really, really thank you so much for your time and for everything that you share with us today. And I hope to see you in the next occasion. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Now let me know, what's your takeaway from this episode? Share in the comments below, and I hope to see you next time. If you haven't yet, subscribe to my newsletter at penelopeperez.me for weekly inspiration, tools, and resources to do the inner work to create a life you love.